it's the water that makes a difference in these cities. And it's a romantic element, water in the city. It's the last element of nature that is not fully tamed, I think. And this makes water so special, and it's, I think it attracts people.
Hi, and welcome back to the Cities Reimagined podcast. I'm your voice of choice, Johannes Riegler, and in this episode, we will explore how the city of Mechelen is reimagining its connection to water and nature. Also, welcome if you're listening to this episode via the Urban Voices podcast channel. Worldwide, urban areas are reimagining and reinterpreting their role of water in their cities. In the past, too often, cities have turned their back towards their streams and towards their water bodies and ponds, and that was primarily due to industrialization and pollution. But if you look at it from a global perspective, having a river or a stream running through a city is luxury and the source of life where humans and animals and plants can thrive. The city of Mechelen in Belgium aims at connecting people, nature, the water and the river and the public spaces around it in completely new ways. For example, by giving the interests of nature and certain species a voice in the participation processes. This has been made possible by the European Urban Initiative in the scope of the WATSUPS project that stands for Water as the Sewers for Urban Public Spaces. I have the pleasure to work with the team behind the project of the City of Mechelen over the next 3.5 years as an innovation expert, guiding the project, looking at what is going on and capturing the knowledge of the project and bringing it to you and to everybody interested in it. This is the first of two episodes, of initial episodes actually, where we're going to dive into the WATSUPS project and have a look at what is ongoing in Mechelen. We will come back to that later on as well. The project runs until 2027, so we are in the early stages of it. But we will hear about that, how it's going, what the ambitions were from the guests in this episode and in the next one. In this first part, Nicole Lacoma, you heard her already in the beginning of this episode. She's working for the City of Mechelen and will tell us about how to get such an ambitious project running and what role participation and fun plays in it. In the second part, to which I really invite you to check it out, Mark van der Weken, also working for the City of Mechelen, takes us on a deep dive into the modern human co-creation processes, including the role of empathy and how the needs and the voices of nature can contribute actually to the principles of these kind of large-scale urban transformation processes. But enough for the monologue. Here is my chat with Nicole Lacoma on reimagining Mechelen's connection with the water. Yeah, hi Nicole. Welcome to the podcast, to Cities Reimagined. When we first met in Mechelen, when we went on the bike ride with your colleagues, I remember that your colleagues introduced you as somebody who makes things happen in the city. Tell us a little bit about your role in the city, in your work with the City of Mechelen. What do you do really?
Well, I started a long time ago in 2007 as the head of a youth service. And I came across a lot of young people who wanted to change a lot in the city and own the city. And one of the things that I first did, which I'm still very proud of now, is that we built a skate park. Well, actually, the skaters built it themselves in concrete. And it was really difficult to convince people that we shouldn't get a contractor, but have the people working with concrete and really building the skate park itself. So I think that I had so much fun actually accomplishing this that I think at that moment I realized that I wanted to have an impact on the city, and this is what I wanted to continue to do. And then then I started with European projects within the youth service. I became funding advisor, and these European projects all about transformation and in the city and changing things. And as you also see that also the Mechelen policy, I think policymakers in Mechelen is really known for the transformation that has been through since the early 2000s. It has been known as a bit of neglected, dirty city, public domain was ugly. It was conceived as a very ugly city. And then a new mayor, Bart Somers, came in the year 2000, and he really invested a lot in public domain. So also for civil servants, a lot was possible to change and to test and to experiment. He was somebody.
Right. I remember that when I was there the last time, somebody told me Mechelen was, how was it, was referred to the Chicago of Belgium or something
like that. Yes, it was. Yeah.
But this changed it all, and the new mayor and the policies changed, and things became...
Yeah, it's changed a lot, and it's also known and famous for the change it has been through the last 20 years. And you also see this change in the culture and in the people itself. They used to be said that people from Mechelen were nagging people, that were never happy. And I see now in Mechelen, a lot of people are really proud of the city and are really proud to be in Mechelen and are really more positive towards the future also. I'm not born in Mechelen. I was born in the north of Belgium. So I also came here in 2006 as an immigrant from Brussels then. I really like the vibe of the people and the city, and all these things make that there are a lot of possibilities. There are a lot of people dare to dream, and as a civil servant, you can continue and work with that, and a lot is possible. And that's why I think that people also see me as someone who wants to change things. It's not only me, but it's also the setting of Mechelen that I ended up in the setting that. That made it this stronger, this ambition to have an impact.
That's really beautiful.
Also, when I want to convince my colleagues of trying something difficult and doing something of which they first think this is impossible, I always say, like, imagine then that you can tell your children, like, I've changed this, I've did this. And of course, with the skate park, I have two sons who are now 14 of 90 and 19 and who have been to the skate park. And I can tell them, like, when you were small, I actually accomplished this with young people.
That's very nice. That's very nice. And your new project, or the project you're now working on, is mainly, or besides others, but it's the WhatsApps project, right? Water as the Sewers of Urban Public Space project.
Yeah, it's a bit similar.
It is what you, when you just talked about your experience and how you motivate your colleagues to do things which seem very hard. I think that project is very much so, right? It is a very big and complicated project, or complex project. Tell us a bit about that.
On the one hand, I'm a romantic soul. So, and I think that if you look at the most romantic cities in the world, well, or in Europe at least, all these cities are defined by their waterways. The most romantic cities are Paris at the Seine, and is Venice with its waterways. And if you look even in Belgium, Bruges is the most popular, famous city, and it's not because of it has beautiful heritage. But Mechelen also has beautiful heritage. Brussels, it has beautiful heritages. It's the water that makes a difference in these cities. And it's a romantic element, water in a city. It's one of, in a complete urban, dense area, it's the last element of nature that is not fully tamed, I think. And this makes water so special, and it attracts people. It makes them, gives them a different vibe. So I always seen it as a potential of the river that was not fully unlocked, or so there was still, we had a small part of a floating part of the river, which I liked very much, but it's only one part, and then it stopped. And you have car parks next to the river, you have boats blocking the view. So I was like, why don't you do something with the river? It's also the sort of the logical next step in all the transition that Mechelen has been through. Mechelen used to have the small canals like Venice, and in the 1910, 1920, they covered it. In the beginning of 2000s, they started to open up these canals from touristic point of view, economic point of view, making the city more attractive. And citizens became very enthusiastic. It has become the most popular spots are the squares and streets where the small canals are opened up. But then the river itself, the Dyle River, this river has so much potential which is not used, and even is much easier than opening up all these canals. We should do both, and we have to open them up. So I think in, if you look at what Mechelen has been doing the last 20 years, and you look at, it's the logical next step. And I believe that citizens also see it as a logical next step, because actually a few years ago there was a huge participation campaign where people could come up with new ideas for the city. And they actually named a few, there were a few proposals of developing the river again as a true green eco corridor through the city. So even people suggested to work on this river to
Which is
redevelop.
also very beautiful because this comes out of a co-creation process, this idea of it was mentioned by the people, the residents of Mechelen, that they would like to do that. And then you took it up in the public administration and developed a huge project out of it, right?
Yeah, there were elements of it already. Yeah? There were some ideas of parts of the river, but it was all very fragmented. And this project combines it all, and it makes it a bigger concept. It makes it as they also call it a master plan of the river now, the project. And I also believe that the fact that it is the complete river and a bigger project even attracts more attention and to it makes people more enthusiastic about it, and it also even it even makes politicians to raise their ambitions even higher.
Very nice. Would you like to briefly introduce, in a nutshell, what WhatsApp is? Because it's there's several sites, and all the sites have different use cases or different functions at the end of the project. And there will be publications we refer to at the Cities Reimagined podcast as well to those publications. But just in a nutshell, what is WhatsApp's?
It's about water as a source of public space. So it's really giving the water back to the people and really integrating it as a part, a valuable part of the public domain by making the case accessible and making the river more visible, but also making sure that the river is an ecosystem in balance with quality water and with a lot of biodiversity. So it's really making this eco corridor stronger and making it as a fully fledged part of the public domain. And for all people, it should be inclusive. Everyone should be profiting from the river, not just tourism, not just the pubs and the cafes having their terraces. It should be publicly accessible, and also nature itself, the biodiversity should be respected.
Yeah, and it really is the it runs along, or your the sides of the project run along the whole Binnendaile, right? The whole length of the river through the old part of
Oh,
Mechelen,
indeed.
which is
Yeah.
very, very long. And
Yeah.
I'm wondering, because it a transformation project like this on a such a large scale also has very different interests, right? By different people in the city, by different organizations, by different actors involved. What are the hardest nuts to crack with the project, with this transformation of the river and the connection of the river through Mechelen?
Well, you see, after COVID, the COVID epidemic, people also rediscovered public domain and rediscovered it as a part of their life, as a part of their homes. And you see that there are already a lot of claims on the river. And as a city, you have to serve all your stakeholders, all your citizens. And I think this is the most challenging, and it's always the most challenging for all cities to combine all these different interests, these different needs. And you cannot prioritize, because people always say, especially in a sort of economical way of thinking, you should prioritize. I really believe that a city may not prioritize, because prioritizing means discriminating part of a target group. We're responsible for all. So the project has to be a big compromise, a very balanced one and a very good one. And that's why being a civil servant is the most difficult job there is.
Yeah, wow.
Always laugh about
Also,
it.
what I What I like about the project or how you approach things, also what you just said, you really work with this complex system of the city, right? You do not only redevelop the public spaces around the Dyle, but you actually take in other perspectives of nature and biodiversity. You take into account aspects of gentrification. There are so many different angles which you connect with this redevelopment of the public spaces along the Dyle, which is really remarkable, which somehow I feel reflects this kind of what you just said, this different interest, this complexity you deal with in your daily work, right?
Yes, that makes it most challenging. And but it has always been challenging if you work on public domain. Now, what we have did in Mechelen always was considering these investments in public domain also something that has to be parallel with projects on social inclusion. So the inclusiveness and the participation is something that we have always taking very much into account. I always joke about the fact that, you know, this typical European new Bauhaus aspect of combining these things is something that Mechelen has invented in 2000, and Ursula von der Leyen just took it from us. but it makes it more, it's challenging, but we also are used to doing this. And it's good that, for instance, the Flemish Waterways is a partner in this, in the project as well. It's really engaged because they reflect the needs of boat owners, of the economic part of the river. The different services of the city are involved, like the sports service, who represents also and also works with the stakeholders, like the swimming clubs in the city.
Tell us a little bit more concretely, how do you do that? What is there to learn also for other cities or for other people who work in the with this complexity?
Yeah, we still have a way to go there, but it's to making all these services cooperate within the city, because we also always talk about integrated policy, but actually cities are still very much organized and structured in silos. And cooperating, having the people of the sports service talk to the people of social department, of the people of infrastructure, and also involving their stakeholders, like we go and talk to the swimming club and also see, like, okay, if you want to do an event here, like a competition, what do you need? What it look like if you're going to develop this piece of the pontoons and the access to the swimming port that we're going to develop in the north? Yeah, how do you, what do you need? And to give these needs to the infrastructure department. And the cooperation is really difficult. We have this huge steering group. People cannot always attend, but depending on the agenda, we invite them. We invite external people depending on the agenda. And getting this cooperation going is fun.
But that is also so inspiring, I find, because you bring up another element besides the how you make people work together in a very process-like approach, but you bring in fun, because is that a leading principle somehow for your work? Because I think you spread such a positive energy as well, I find, and such an enthusiasm about the project, and also how you just talked about the skate park. Is that something you need in the public administration to drag people along and motivate them to do something different, fun, and the positive energy to actually overcome challenges?
It's the only way to motivate people, because if you have such an ambitious question for them, and if you want them to do something more than what they regularly do, why should they do it? Why should they be happy to cooperate? It's not when you give them all these problems immediately and say, like, okay, now please solve it. But if you present it as something like a challenge that you can accomplish together and make fun in the meantime, then people will be happy to do it.
Yes, I believe so too. And part of this project, or also in general, I think there's a lot to learn about WhatsApps, about about the methods and the processes you implement in Mechelen. And I was wondering, you have a couple of transfer cities as well in the project: these Leeuwarden in the Netherlands, Catania in Sicily, and Kristianstad in Sweden, who are going to learn from your experience per se. But there are so many really innovative angles to this project where I feel like this has not been tried on a larger scale or in a city, these approaches yet. Tell us a little bit of what do you think are the main learnings from the project, or you envision the learnings from the project, which can inspire others and can be translated to other urban areas and inspire other policymakers or public administrations?
Considering the water as a real part of public domain and how you do this and how you also make the river a part of your target group by considering it an active target group that will get a voice. But it's also interesting for other cities how to not only how to do this, but how not to be afraid of the differences that it might come across. Because mm-hmm. it's not always easy when people... When in a participation process, you want to involve people, but you will also start polarization by starting the discussion, and you will also make people temper your ambitions. And you just want to reach the opposite, and that's why a lot of other cities are a bit reluctant to start a process. So I think this is something that can give them courage to do it, if we dare to do it, I hope. And of course, there are elements, technical things, like how do you tackle water quality? How do you make a river accessible? How do you communicate with your boats in the harbor if you want to relocate boats and these things? How do you solve problems, of course, is always interesting. But I think the taking away their fears is the most important thing. That's
what important. I really like about how you describe this challenge of transformation and bringing together different perspectives and interests as well, is this that you don't see it as a problem, but you see it as something, at least I interpret it as such, as something which is kind of needed to find a consensus or to find a way forward. Because if you do not take that into account, you might run into problems later on where there's just more friction and more opposition and so on. Do you have some thoughts on that?
Well, I think friction is part of policy, of democracy, and people have been losing their faith in democracy the last years. And I also think that this project can support giving faith again in democracy, because learning people how to cooperate and talk about problems in a constructive way and not in a polarized method, which has now been very and nowadays social media is really strengthening this polarization, and this is going back again to another way of constructive cooperation and showing people that these different points of view are interesting and enriching, and how to find a compromise, and showing them that it's always difficult, but this difficulty that we need to change something.
So you're at the beginning of the, or rather at the beginning of the project, right? And I will have the pleasure to work with you over the next 3 years. So we will come back to this conversation occasionally, and there will be more publications and eventually more podcast episodes on the progress. So our listeners can also follow that. But tell us a little bit what is going on in the next year for WhatsApps. What are the next steps? What are the big big milestones you're looking forward to?
The next steps are the really in-depth participation trajectories with citizens and stakeholders on the specific building sites next to the river, and to come up with the design for it. And so this design and very in-depth input participation process are the next steps. This will be very interesting and also going to define the project to a large extent. So that will be very nice. We will also involve artists in this process so they can later on use their inspiration of the people to develop also an artwork on the River Dyle, which would strengthen even their sense of belonging and being a part of it, because he based it on people's input. And the methods and developing these trajectories will be the next thing, and will be very interesting on how that we can come up with new methods with visualization, and also how to integrate the voice of nature in this. So I'm really looking forward to how this will happen.
Nicole, thank you so much for your time today. I'm excited
Very
to follow that
welcome.
And come to Mechelen soon.
Yes, very welcome in Mechelen. Yeah. I hope we see you soon there.
This was the first of two parts where we dive into the WhatsApps project, a project run by the City of Mechelen, funded by the European Urban Initiative. If you want to find out more about the project, check out the links in the description in the show notes below, or check out Portico, which is the European Urban Initiative's gateway to urban learning, so you find a lot of resources and further information on this and more projects on there. Also, please don't forget to check out the second part of this conversation with Mark van der Weken from the City of Mechelen, and he's going to talk about the modern human approach in co-creation and how to give the voice of nature a stake in a co-creation and participatory process. I really invite you to check it out because it's a really good episode, and Mark has so much knowledge and experiences to share, and it's so interesting how a local public administration is taking the extra mile in the scope of the WhatsApps project to experiment and really redefine the city's connection with the nature, but also with the modern human inhabitants, with the animals and plants living in the city. So please check it out. The link is also below. That's it for now. Thanks for listening in, and I hope to catch you soon.